This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to Jax
and Dean
on our podcast.
This is our podcast.
It is our. I've just said that, Dean.
This is our podcast.
Oh, it's still our podcast now. That's cute.
Cute.
Oh my god.
Oh my god.
Play the podcast, please.
We are so happy to have the hilarious Sophie Willen joining us here at Joy today.
That's like a good sound effect.
Do you like that? Crowd goes wild.
We just keep
in the morning with that, just to perk you up a bit.
Yeah, we just keep them under the desk, and then we make them cheer when we're excited. Oh yeah, it wasn't me.
Now, so if you come a long way to be here, all the way from the north of England.
Yep, Manchester.
I could tell. I actually did guess that. I was pretty close.
Yeah, you've got a friend, haven't you?
Yeah, so I kind of cheated because I know someone from
DJ Loz.
Manchester. Yeah.
Shout out.
Hey, Laura. but this isn't about her. This is about you and your show, which is called Branded.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like cattle?
No, it's sort of exploring how we label, really. You know, people and ourselves and how we're kind of processed in society with labels, you know. So I look at labels that I've had associated with me, you know, being Northern English, because, you know, even though England's a very small country, no matter how big we draw it on maps, you know, it's very divided north and south of England. So kind of looking at that and looking at, you know, being a female, you know, comedian and that label and what the expectation is that you kind of represent half the population of the world in a stand-up comedy show.
Yeah,
You know, and then class, we love to talk about class in England. Mm. I know not so much here. I know they're pretending they don't have a class system here still.
We like to pretend that, that's right.
Yeah. But in England, it's kind of a big conversation at the moment. So being labelled working class and what does that mean? And so it's kind of a breaking down of labelling, I suppose.
And in your Twitter profile, you refer to yourself as a professional oversharer.
I suppose so.
Which I like that.
Yeah, I suppose it's just what it is, isn't it, really? Stand up. You know?
Put it out there, exactly. Yeah. Now, one of the things that interested me was that you won an award or a bursary for the Carolyn Ahern bursary.
Yeah.
Now, Carolyn, for the people listening, was the creator, writer of The Royal Family, which we saw here in Australian television a number of years ago.
Oh, really? Great.
And she sadly passed away, I think, a couple of years back. Yeah.
Yeah, about a year ago now.
And so you won, what was it, an award? Or
the BBC, which I suppose is like your ABC here.
Oh, a little bit better, I think.
Yeah.
The BBC's better, I should say, not the ABC.
No, it's funny, I don't know how much you know of because what I've found while I've been here is trying to work out what people already know about England and what they don't know. That's interesting. And what they don't care about.
I've had a pie and I've had mushy peas.
Yeah.
I've done
You're quite good at pastry here, though.
We are
good. Oh, yeah.
We don't tend to do mushy peas, though.
I was very surprised. Your sausage rolls are divine.
Mm. But the fish, chips and mushy peas we don't tend to do.
No, that's
or the malt vinegar. No.
No,
or
chips
the warm ale, warm beer. Don't you do that.
Chips and gravy, though.
But we don't do chips with curry. I heard that's an English thing.
Yeah, but chips and gravy is specifically very Northern English, so you must have had an influence of Northern English criminals.
All these convicts.
Exactly. That is what we are. We are all criminals.
Yeah. But with the BBC, you end up doing a four-part series?
BBC, separately from that, so I do a Radio 4 series. I've just done my first series called Guide to Normality. And it's kind of really breaking down what we consider normal. So each one is an instruction. So the first episode is be a parent. The second is get a job. The third is do monogamy. And the fourth is be polite. And then I break down all of those through my personal experience and then look at how nonsense they are, really.
Yes.
You know, they all have a wider narrative going on. So be polite is actually a conversation about class and how we exclude certain voices from, you know, because we create a middle class norm or a norm in society work, I suppose.
Well, exactly. Or even when you say that, I think of when a woman is angry and expresses herself, she's sometimes referred to as being shrill. Or in a way which
emotional.
Is not emotional or hysterical or not angry.
Yeah.
That's what men do. Women have all these other adjectives, which is really interesting.
Yeah, that sort of thing, really. Yeah. So that was what the Be Polite episode is about. It's about, you know, how it actually, when the middle class norm creates the standards, then it excludes voices outside of that, you know, because they're saying, well, oh, that's not polite, or that's, you know what I mean? So that was that episode. And the do monogamy one was just about, you know, lots of observational humour about how irritating couples can be. So these are the top five worst couples. But then also,
especially when they had kids as well.
Yes, well, that's in there. Yeah.
Well, I feel like I need to listen to that episode. I feel like I might be an annoying couple when I'm in a couple.
Yeah, but what they're saying is that everybody's annoying in couples. Oh, yeah. Like, nobody, everybody becomes a bit of an arsehole in a couple.
You know, it's worse when the couple starts to renovate their house.
Yeah.
Oh, dang.
I've been there.
Yeah.
When me and my partner renovated, we just became boring. We would dominate conversations with taps and tiles and what's your builder worth and all this sort of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, it's just one of those things, isn't it? Couples do things that should be just kept private.
Yes.
Yeah. You should never see them in the natural habitat because they're disgusting. You know. And then that was all about, you know, we perhaps need to just be a bit more open and creative and let people kind of decide how they want to live, you know, and the idea of monogamy being quite an old-fashioned concept, I suppose.
Well, it is,
know.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
I think sort of back in the day, they all had quite fluid definitions of marriage and family.
Yeah. Well,
not so much family, but certainly marriage.
Yeah.
You know, back in history, they had mistresses and...
Yeah, way back. And then it got really
polite.
Vanilla for a while.
Yeah.
And repressed. And Queen Victoria, I blame Queen Victoria.
Oh, no.
I think maybe before that, but I think it was only men that were having the fluidity. I don't know if women were having much fluidity, but...
No,
you know,
they were sort of owned, I guess, or they were property of the man.
Yeah.
You're with Rach and Dean on Joy 94.9. We're having a chat to Sophie Willen, who's in town for the Melbourne International Comedy Festival.
Thanks for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
Obviously, you have shows every night up until Sunday, which is when you will actually finally wrap up.
Yep.
How long have you been in Australia for now?
I got here on the 23rd of... March. Yeah.
It's all a blur.
It is a bit, yeah.
So you will have been here like almost exactly 1 month.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. After doing like such a long run, well, not, I guess it's a long run, 2 weeks of stand-up comedy every night, at the end of that, do you just want to go away and not be funny?
It's nearly 4 weeks.
Oh, four weeks. Wow. See, I imagine if I was trying to be funny, because I would have to try. You don't have to try. You're clearly talented. But if I was trying to be funny for 4 weeks straight, I would need to go away and hide somewhere in the dark and just decompress after all of that.
Yeah, I will have touring as well in England. So I've literally come straight off tour to here. And then that continues when I get back. So
you're basically a rock star.
In a very small, unexciting way.
Or a gypsy, or somebody in witness protection.
It feels more like witness protection sometimes, you know, with the oversharing and the...
Yeah. And do people ever see you in the street having seen your show and feel like they actually know you because of the stories they hear you tell?
Yeah, that can happen. Yeah, that's... It's nice when people enjoy the show and they give... You know, nice feedback and stuff. But yeah, it is weird that people sometimes think that they... Because obviously comedy is all about being personable, isn't it? So
yeah, and some of your content's quite frank and candid and autobiographical.
Yes, yeah. So then it does open up a kind of, you know, a relationship with strangers that you weren't expecting. Because people think they know you. They can ask all sorts.
Yeah.
And all just tell you weird things about their own life that you think, I am not qualified to take this information away with me. Yeah.
So, we wanted to just go into why the show might be more relevant for the Joysters. So, for our listeners...
Yeah, I think probably because there's lots of things that are explored in the show, but labels and different things. But one of the main things is it's looking at kind of exploring sex work and that topic, which I suppose is quite on the fringes of what is considered normal. I suppose it's quite a queer questioning conversation. So I have that in depth, really, about, well, monogamy and about sex work and my experience working as a sex worker. So I suppose in England, I have a kind of big sort of queer audience actually over there, because I did do queer cabaret for years. So actually, you know, I think it seems to resonate with my queer audiences, you know, because I suppose it's that kind of questioning and you know,
and we do like talking about sex.
Yeah,
well, I know I do.
We sure do.
And I suppose it's just that, you know, things that are not always following what is the normal opinion or the norm, and kind of, you know, looking at things from a different angle.
And
you know,
being branded is such a big thing in the LGBTI community. Like, obviously, the fact that we call ourselves the LGBTI community.
And those labels are needed and also limiting. I think that's a massive thing, isn't it, with labelling? You kind of need identity politics, but then at the same time they come with the limitations, which is what I explore in a funny way. which is hard to imagine, isn't it?
But
no, when you're talking seriously on radio, it's hard to imagine there's jokes around it, you know, but it hopefully is a very fun hour. And I do teach a tit shake to anybody who's willing to learn. So
that's
worth coming for that.
I'm definitely signing up for this. Thank you so much, Sophie.
See you later. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for that.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.